Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about why bonus structures may not make sense for community managers and generally how to compensate community managers. Before we dive in, the Coworking Startup School is about to open. Actually, if you're listening today, it opened today. So you have about a week to jump in if you are interested in the program. Go to coworkingstartupschool.com and you will get the details in your email. The Coworking Startup School program is for you if you are ready to invest in your coworking space and want to avoid costly mistakes and get to profitability faster. We will help you to avoid stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure that you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning, and we want to make sure that you get the business model right so that you're set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals. We'll review your pro forma, help you with your product mix, design, sourcing furniture, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team or learning how to run the space yourself, getting set up with the right tech, and more. You can piece some of this support together from the podcast and from the Everything Coworking Facebook, but this program is for people that want to invest in access to a package that fast tracks them to success and provides the information, resources, and support that you need when you need it and in the order that you need it, accompanied by individual access to me, other industry experts, and a curated peer group. So again, if this sounds like a fit for you, go to coworkingstartupschool.com to get the details. Okay, so today we are going to talk about compensating community managers. This topic comes up a lot for my Coworking Startup School members and in my flight group. Certainly for new operators, this is a hot topic because oftentimes they/you are operating a coworking space and then transition out and hire their first manager, and all of a sudden they get really anxious about replacing themselves with someone who cares about the business as much as they do. I was totally in that camp. So I opened my coworking space in Chicago. I don't tell this story very often. My husband was in finance, and I had said to him, okay, so I'm opening this local business. We need to not move for a long time. Cool? He said, cool. Okay, we're good. Months after I opened, he came to me and said he had an opportunity in the San Francisco Bay Area that we needed to consider. So that was fairly traumatizing. About a year after I opened that space, we moved to Palo Alto, where I quickly was fortunate enough to meet some partners and open a second space, but it was a big transition. For me as an owner, I had been running the space and suddenly had to hire somebody, which was the plan, but I had to do it faster than I had thought I would, and had that exact feeling that I just described where, okay, I'm used to selling. I do all the things. I sell. I do all the community building, all the relationship management, and now I have to hire somebody who's going to replace me, and I want them to feel as committed to the business as I feel, especially now that I will be a 5-hour plane ride away. So I immediately instituted a bonus structure that was very generous and very focused on bringing on new members. Now, remember, I was only a year in business, so we were not even at full capacity yet. So I was still building my business, and this is common. You know, it depends on a lot of things. My product mix was also not right. I had to fix that after I moved. I had to manage a construction project remotely. So this is, you know, all these things that I learned, lessons that I learned are you know, part of the reason that I run the Coworking Startup School, do this podcast. I've learned a lot of hard lessons that I want others to not make. And I've had visibility into dozens and dozens of coworking businesses with my other hat. And I see the framework that works to set up a successful space and have done that myself with the Belo Alto space. But back to my Chicago space and hiring my first community manager, I put a bonus and structure in place that literally rewarded every single membership that was closed pretty significantly, because I was so nervous that the person that replaced me would not be focused on bringing on new members, which we still needed to do. And I realized fairly quickly that that was expensive and that the person I had hired was going to do the thing she was going to do regardless. And so I knew that I didn't have the structure quite right. And this has taken some time and really learning from other much more experienced operators how best to approach this. So let's talk about this. Let's back up and talk about aligning interests, creating bonus structures. And to do that, I think it's important to look at the role of the community manager and the hats that they might wear. So I have a list in front of me that I'm going to post to the blog. I'm not going to read them all out loud because it's a long list. As we know, the typical co-working community manager wears a lot of hats. So I like to bucket them. I also run a program called Community Manager University, and I bucket the training and content into these five areas: community building, operations, sales and marketing, finance, and leadership. So I'll just, you know, read a few. If you already have a space, you know these very well. Community building includes building relationships with members, hosting member events, making connections among members. Operations, onboarding, offboarding members, keeping common areas neat and organized, ordering supplies, making a lot of coffee, opening and closing the space, lots of operational items. Sales and marketing, scheduling tours for prospective leads, responding to leads via email and phone, giving those tours, following up on leads. Posting to social media is often one of those hats, posting to the Google My Business page, soliciting reviews for Google and Yelp. Finance might include involvement in managing monthly member billing, things that are both automated and manual. And then the leadership bucket can vary depending on whether the community manager is managing other team members, but often it will at least involve things like tracking key performance indicators, running weekly team meetings. So needless to say, without going through the rest of the list, most community managers are really busy. And they wear a lot of different hats and have a lot of different areas of focus in the business, not just sales. So when we're talking about a bonus structure, typically a bonus structure is pointed at, you know, a revenue target, right? So let's talk about what percentage of time that a community manager might allocate to these buckets each day. So I'm going to suggest, and this may be different in your business, but just roughly, that they're spending like 30% community building, 30% operations, 30% sales and marketing, with the other 10% roughly going to finance and leadership. Super rough swag, but let's just say, you know, roughly they're spreading their time over community building, operations, and sales and marketing. So they're not even pointed at sales and marketing all the time. And two of these buckets, operations and community building, are really more about member retention than membership growth. So when I left Chicago, I was very focused on filling the space. And so my bonus structure was just based on bringing new people in the door. It had nothing to do with member retention and membership growth. So if I'd had the wrong person in that role who was just super pointed at that incentive, then they would have spent all their time selling and basically ignoring members and only doing, you know, the basics to get new members onboarded, which we don't want. So most community managers are more responsible for nurturing leads and then retaining members than on filling the top of the funnel, making cold calls, attending events, doing outbound outreach to get leads into the funnel. If you have that person, it's probably a sales role. The community manager is so busy with all of their hats they probably don't have time to do that. In my experience, a good hire will manage leads and follow up on leads and build relationships with members like it's their job without a bonus structure in place. A bad hire will not manage your leads like you would, even with a bonus structure in place. So just to kind of get to the fundamentals, you need to have the right person in the seat to begin with. And then the bonus structure is really about how you want to appreciate their focus on your business. It's not for the community manager role so much aligning incentives, but we'll talk about that in a minute. So if you're looking for a hunter, that person to fill the top of your funnel, to go, you know, build relationships with the attorneys and the accountants and go to events and go to the BNI lunches, et cetera, then hire for that profile. If your team member, which is typically, you know, first your team member is going to be a community manager, doesn't have a sales background, and they're not a natural hunter with training on how to hunt, they're likely not going to hunt because A, they don't have time, and B, it's just out of their comfort zone or they don't enjoy it. You know, if you do, you know, a behavioral assessment, like it just is not, the sales hat is not going to line up with the nurturing hat. The hunters don't spend time nurturing, right? The hunters go after the sale. One of our GWA board members was giving us her perspective on the sales role. We're hiring a business development team member for the GWA and kind of talking about, you know, that hat and how does it fit and can they do, you know, other things or do we have to hire somebody who's really only focused on sales? And she said they have salespeople that are so wired to sell that they want to spend 0 minutes doing paperwork. Like they don't want anything that gets in the way of them going after leads, which is amazing, right? But can you imagine a community manager that doesn't want to do paperwork or admin work? It just doesn't fit, right? It's hard to put both of those hats on one person. So here are some things to think about in terms of the compensation package. We probably are looking at a community manager. If that's who we're compensating, we're not talking about a sales manager, right? If you have a sales manager, then that is an incentive-based, bonus-based structure that you want to put in place. But people tend to want to put that on a community manager to get them lined up with, you know, filling the space and growing the business. So we want to remember that really they're responsible for nurturing leads, and that's part of their daily role, part of their job. So here's how we do it, just as an example, and this is only an example. It is not prescriptive. We have a quarterly bonus structure that pays out 12% of quarterly operating profit. 80% of the bonus pool goes to community managers, and 20% of that goes to the functional team, which includes marketing, accounting, etc. This structure rewards closing deals, retaining members, and managing expenses. That's a big deal, right? Because the other situation you could get into is a community manager who's like, I'll make everybody stay. Free lunch 3 times a week. You don't want that either, right? So you want that person who's really looking at the P&L as you would and managing kind of all aspects of revenue, retention, and expenses. So for me, in my experience, I look at that quarterly incentive as a bit more of a thank you for being committed to the members and to supporting this business versus being a really big carrot, because of all of the non-sales roles that our community managers play. As a matter of fact, my newest community manager, who is amazing, I had forgotten to review the bonus structure with her when I hired her. So the end of a strong quarter came. She is just a perfect profile for this role. Members love her. She draws people in really well. And as we know, that's a real chicken or egg cycle. If she gets more members into the space and members are happy, more members come in, and it's just a really good reinforcing cycle, which is going really well with her personality and approach. So we got to the end of a great quarter and I mentioned the bonus to her and she just kind of looked at me and she said, well, thank you. She's like, I kind of don't, you know, it's not necessary. I appreciate it. I would have done the same job anyway, which she had done without knowing that there was a bonus structure in place. So, you know, she was kind of making the point, and not everybody would have this personality, of course, that like, not necessary, but Thank you. And I love, there's a book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us by Daniel Pink. It is a great read. You can get it on Amazon or Audible or however you get your books. And it talks a lot about how humans respond to incentives. And it's somewhat surprising. And I think it'll make you think about the types of incentives you want to have in place for your team. And one of the things that I got out of this book, and other operators that I work with do this for their team as well, they'll save a budget for unexpected thank yous for when the team goes in above and beyond the call of duty. That way you have ways to sort of unexpectedly thank your team. So have that predictable incentive in place that has a formula that everybody understands, but also save some budget for the unexpected thank yous, which the book Drive will tell you like is actually a really big deal and sometimes more appreciated than the expected bonus compensation. So that all, you know, being said, food for thought on how to structure your bonus, you know, make sure your manager is, you know, while I'm saying the manager wears different hats, clearly the lead nurturing and lead follow-up hat is a critical one. So even though you're not thinking of them as the sales machine, absolutely train them on your sales funnel. Train them to give an amazing tour. Teach them to close leads and make sure that you have the systems in place for the right accountability and the right lead follow through. And make sure it's super clear to your manager how to spend her day. So we talked about sort of what's typical, the 30-30-30 split. New managers don't know that until you tell them, right? So it's super easy for managers to get focused on relationships with members, for example, and not spend the time doing, you know, posting to Google and doing things like making sure the Google My Business listing is updated and social media posts are active and at the right frequency. So you want to make sure you are explicit about how the daily split should look. So what percentage of the day should be spent on interacting with members, on lead follow-up, on keeping the conference rooms clean, et cetera. You may have a community manager that gravitates towards one of those buckets, so make sure you train them on the right balance and create accountability systems like in your weekly meeting with them to ensure that that's how they're spending their day. So just another example, one of my flight group members shared the following. He said, our space has a community manager and a sales manager. So our community managers are incentivized on overall performance of the business and our salespeople are incentivized on hitting the revenue budget. Sales managers are wired to go, go, go. And if you don't have one that is go, 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 then you might want to reconsider whether that person is the right fit. He says, our incentive is fixed for each quarter and based on a minimum of 80% of revenue achieved, the community manager and the sales manager are eligible for a portion of that defined bonus. They need to hit 100% of the target to get 100% of the bonus. And he added that we have noticed the community manager going after meeting and events revenue to help push that overall revenue each month. So having a formal structure in place can help with that focus sort of on the fringe where you need that to happen. So ultimately, how you compensate your team is a personal decision that will be based on the market conditions in your local area and which hats you want your community manager to focus on and your personal experience and experimentation with compensation packages that work for you and your team. But I thought it was helpful to kind of just talk through all the hats and what makes sense in terms of aligning incentives and what to create that structure around. So there is a blog post related to this topic on the blog at everythingcoworking.com. And just a reminder, if you are opening a coworking space in 2020 and want to make sure you avoid costly mistakes and create a profitable, sustainable business that you love to run, go to coworkingstartupschool.com to get the details.